Thank you. We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Governor, some people think that the only way to get the full story of what happened with 38 Studios would be through an outside investigation. Are they wrong to think that?
Well, we have our lawsuit, and that is proceeding, and that is in the attempt to get back the money that we, the taxpayers, have spent on this. So whether we find the truth is also important, but getting our money back, I think, is more important.
There are kind of two minds about 38 Studios. Some people, you were an opponent of this deal. Some people think it was just an act of massive hubris by supporters, and other people question whether there was something more nefarious. Where do you come down on that?
What's so ironic that the previous governor billed himself as the businessman governor and then made the worst business decision in the history of Rhode Island, and that I think everybody would agree with that.
I don't really hear an answer to my question, though. Do you think it was more just a question of bad judgment, or do you think there was something more nefarious here?
I just have to think it was the worst judgment ever made. It's just inconceivable that the board of the EDC would approve this with only one objection, and that it would go flying through the General Assembly. To me, the governor, who had a career in business, could possibly be in support of such a thin chance of success, one of the most difficult, volatile industries to get involved in, with a person that's never even run a lemonade stand. I was so against it, and they made the first payment to 38 Studios. They made the investment the day before the election for governor, and they wouldn't even wait those short months.
Just to wrap up this series of questions, Governor, some might say that because you were such an opponent of 38 Studios, you in particular should have been more on the ball in following the implementation of the deal, and that the state somehow fell down there. What do you say?
They were just waiting to say Chafee's micromanaging this and he's going to ruin it. I compare that argument to saying that the Tollgate Warwick High School basketball team played the Miami Heat and lost and got blown out. It's the coach of the Tollgate basketball team. He didn't coach well enough. I mean, that was a similar circumstance. This had such a thin chance of success. There's no kind of management could have changed that.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, compared to Massachusetts and Connecticut, one thing Rhode Island hasn't done over the last decade or so, I know you've done a little bit in this area, is really invest in higher education. And I'm noticing that as we come back to the campuses, this is the season of the teary goodbyes from the parents, only 50% of the entering class at URI is in-state Rhode Islanders. The rest is from out of state, and I understand why they do that for higher tuition. You go back years in this state, only 20% was out of state. Is this something we should be concerned about?
Absolutely, Scott. And don't forget, those out-of-staters are paying that higher tuition. They're coming out with student debt. I think the reason America is the greatest country in the world is our investment in higher education. That's what made this country great. You could come out of high school and go to a community college, whether in Missouri or California or Arkansas or Rhode Island, at affordable tuition. That's what made this country great. And I dispute that you said we're not putting the money in, because even in these toughest of toughest times, my budgets have had money for higher education. Last year's budget was no change.
You've reversed it.
Sometimes the General Assembly cuts what I have put in the budget, but I have put it in, the money for higher ed. I firmly believe in it. Keep those tuitions down. Make it affordable.
Mediation is continuing in response to the lawsuit filed by a series of public employee unions over the state pension overhaul of 2011. Do you expect there to be a settlement in this case?
Well, there's a gag order on that by the court, so I better be careful what I say, Ian, about this. But it was my idea, as you know, to have mediation. I exchanged letters with the general treasurer asking her to support mediation. She sent me back a letter declining, saying that she did not have any interest in mediation. I think in any court case, it's worth pursuing, because who knows how it's going to end up. It's always a risk whether they're going to win or lose. Let's look at what we might be able to mediate and then decide if it's affordable or not. And we're in that process now.
If the state is on the hook for more pension obligations, either through a settlement or a court judgment, where will that money come from?
Those are decisions we'll have to make when we see that number, if that occurs.
One thing I find interesting is these two boards of education that were merged into one. How are you going to deal with that?
I always deal the cards I'm played well. I have a good record of being a councilman, a mayor, senator, and now as governor, doing well for the citizens of my community. And this is going to be no difference. We have a good board with Clark Green now as the interim commissioner of higher education, working with Commissioner Gist and the teachers' unions at addressing some of these big issues that, as I said earlier, are national issues, whether teacher evaluation or high-stakes testing and the linkage to graduation requirements, common core standards. These are all big, big issues nationally that we're tackling here in Rhode Island.
I'm wondering how your administration so badly fumbled the ball on the ethics question with Eva Marie Mancuso, which led to her withdrawal from
We had a September 30th deadline by mandate of the legislature to submit reports, and as we finished the budget and the cut to our higher education budget in half, we didn't know how that was going to end up. The legislature acts at the end of the session making decisions. And as a result of that, in the squish time frame, we wanted to make sure we adhered to that September 30th deadline. As it turned out, things worked out well. We've got Clark Green in there, and things are going forward.
But you did drop the ball, it seems, on the Mancuso ethics.
We were going to apply for that hardship exception. The Ethics Commission kind of sent word back to us that you better look at other options, have a plan B, which we did, and we ended up having a very, very good plan B. And I'm fully confident that we're going to be adhering to all the requirements of the law without getting into any ethics issues.
We're talking here with Governor Lincoln Chafee. And Governor, I wonder if you're going to go along with the changes made by the General Assembly in this session to the state's approach to economic development. And if so, whether Marcel Valois, the current head of the Economic Development Corporation, will be your choice to be the state's Commerce Secretary.
Well, that takes place in 2015, so after the 2014 election. I'm going to adhere to all the requirements of the law, but I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time on shuffling things around. I've always believed, and I made this point, that it wasn't the EDC structure that got us into 38 studios. It was people, and that we're just not going to see those kind of bad decisions made by an EDC that I work with and I chair. That's just not going to happen.
How confident are you that the state's so-called Obamacare, the health exchange, is going to draw in enough small businesses to be successful?
I know there are challenges with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, but I also am very, very confident that Rhode Island is going to be a model. We're not going to not have our hiccups, and we're not going to have our stubbed toes, if you will, but Rhode Island is going to be a model. Mark my words.
Now, why do you think that?
Because we have such a good team, whether it's Lieutenant Governor Roberts, whether it's Christy Ferguson, with all her experience of dealing in Massachusetts and at the national level down in Washington, Steve Constantino and all the years that he's been working with health care, Dr. Hittner, new insurance commissioner. We just have a great team. We're on top of it, Scott, and I am going to predict that President Obama is going to say, look at Rhode Island. It is working.
Governor, as we know, you became a Democrat earlier this year. You're expected to be part of a three-way Democratic gubernatorial field next year, including Providence Mayor Angel Taveras and State Treasurer Gina Raimondo. Taveras and Raimondo have consistently polled as the best approved public officials in the state. That seems to be some kind of recognition of how they are working on economic issues. What would you say to voters about why you're the best choice?
All I do is concentrate on the job at hand, and that's what I've always done, do a good job. And obviously, having been elected as a councilman and four times as mayor of Warwick, elected to the U.S. Senator, I won my primary in 2006 and then elected as governor. Obviously, the citizens have supported the decisions I've been making over my political career. And when I came into the governor's office, we were in very, very difficult times. Unemployment was at 11.3%. We're down below 9% now. We just had 10 consecutive months of declining unemployment. So that's not just one month, it's at one number and that stays another number. 10 consecutive months of declining. We just plateaued a little bit, but it's below 9%. We still have a ways to go. And just today we're hearing housing prices are up 22% and that travel at TF Green is up for the first time over a sustained period since 2005. So if I keep doing the job I'm doing, I'll let the politics take care of itself.
Do you believe Jack Reed that he said he never spoke to J.B. Pursh, his former top aide, and a close personal friend? He read the Sermon on the Mount at Jack's wedding, that he never talked to him before J.B. took on a political consultant position with Angel Taveras. That seems to stretch credulity.
No, I believe him, Scott. You're out for hire. You hang your shingle out when you get into that kind of business. I don't think that J.B. necessarily had to clear anything with his former employer.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And thank you, Governor Lincoln Chafee.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Ian.